May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You might be aware that this weekend is a convergence of festivals, religious festivals around the world, that is alongside of our celebration of Easter, our Jewish brothers and sisters are celebrating Passover. And so this happens a lot, but not always. And when there's a convergence of these things, sometimes in families, they've got to figure out which one they're going to observe, or if they're going to do Passover on Saturday, if there's a Jewish mom, and then they go to church on Sunday maybe and celebrate Easter, if there's a Christian father. And so families are always trying to balance what's the best way to be religious in this family, or what's the best observance, which one do we choose over the other. Now, ever since I've had kids in school in Madison, I've learned that there's another religious festival that always conflicts with Easter, and that is called spring break. And so when you're a priest in the church and your spring break happens to also be the busiest week of the whole year for you, you've got to make some choices. And so a couple of years ago, when we were trying to balance in the family, like, do we do spring break? I mean, we can't say we're not going to do Easter. We're going to do that. So what we did is we tried to shoehorn in a mini spring break. So right after the recession on Palm Sunday, in the silence, we got right in the van, we drove to Milwaukee, and we got a hotel there, and we said, for just a couple of nights, we're going to stay here in downtown Milwaukee and enjoy it, and we're going to have just enough of a spring break to feel like this week wasn't just a whole lot of work for Dad. So, as you do, when you're staying in a hotel, there are down times. You know, there's a little bit of time when you're not at the pool, or you're not walking around, or trying to figure out what the next place you're going to eat is, even though you just ate 30 minutes ago. And so I'm sitting there, and I do what you do when you're in a hotel, especially if you're a person like me who doesn't have cable television at home. You start, like, going through the channels. And you've only got 5 seconds to hook me here. So I'm going through, and I finally get to something that intrigues me a little bit because it's a little bit of an occupational hazard. Most of you know I have a day job where I shoot a lot of video content, and I shoot a lot of interviews. I am so tired of shooting interviews with people. For 20 years, I do nothing but like shoot interviews. But if I see one being shot, I might stop and say, I want to see how this looks. What are they doing that's different? Because I need to infuse my own interview shooting with some new techniques from time to time. So I get stopped on an interview, and I realize this interview isn't just a news story or something, it's an actual documentary, and that intrigues me a little bit more. So I want to find out a little bit more about what's going on here. So I've stayed 10 seconds now. So I know there's an interview, I know it's a documentary, and then about 15 seconds in, I learn that this is a documentary about a religion. And now, like, all of the parts of my life are converging when I'm sitting on the edge of this hotel bed in downtown Milwaukee. And so I keep watching it, and about 30 seconds in, the person being interviewed drops an F-bomb. And I was like, this is it. It's TVMA plus a documentary. What could be better? And this guy, the interviewee is like cursing the Lord. There's no way I'm going away from this. And so I sit and watch it, and I'm sure somebody's hollering that it's time to go eat again. But I'm going to watch it, and it gets crazy. Whatever is going on in this interview, like, it's a little weird, these people in this religion, and then it gets a little weirder, and gets weirder yet, and it actually starts getting downright insane until it turns out to be really, really dangerous. And those people, what they believe is really crazy. But folks, I want to tell you something. This morning, this is our crazy. Because what we're here to do, this is not normal. This is a stretch. You are here this morning to celebrate that somebody who was executed and laid in a tomb behind a very large stone, God raised him up and moved him somewhere else. That is not something that normal people believe. That is something that is way, way out there. And you have to own that. And I hope you do own it. But that is our crazy. Now, I'm not trying to suggest that the craziness that I saw in that documentary is equal to our crazy. And there's a couple of very good reasons for that. Number one is, we tell you we're crazy up front. You don't have to come in for a while to find out whether we're crazy or not. In fact, we worship on the first day of the week, a day nobody ever worshiped on before, because the tomb was empty on the first day of the week. All those people that started worshiping on Sunday, the first day of the week, had been previously worshiping on Saturday. And it wasn't easy to worship on Sunday. They had to go to work that day. It wasn't a day off. So you often see in the New Testament when they're worshiping later, it's at night, because everybody had to go to work and they came home and then they worshiped. We tell you right up front the one crazy thing you need to know. This is our biggest festival of the year. Regardless of what TV and Blaine's Farm and Fleet Menards tell you around Christmas time, this one is bigger for us. This is the crazy one, and it is the only crazy thing we're going to ask you, by the way. If somebody tells you there's other crazy stuff you need to assent to, and there's a great big long list of it, folks, tell them, I already assented to the one big crazy thing. I don't need any others. Or if they bring you in and say, like, oh, you've been here a while, let me let you in on some secrets that are really crazy, you need to turn around and run the other way. We have to know that what we are assenting to this morning is difficult. It is hard. And it might just be a little crazy. And it is the crazy that our faith is built upon. It is not something that you have to learn later. It is not some mystery or some secret. We are here because we have the experience of the living Christ. And we're here because there are people before us had it. It's not that we have no evidence for the craziness that we hold. We've got the evidence of the testimony of people like Paul this morning, who said, you believe because it was proclaimed to you by myself or by others. Most of you have stayed in the Christian faith because somebody around you, you have seen the evidence of the living Christ in their life. You didn't just get there because you said, you know, I think it would be okay to believe that God just raised people from the dead, even though I've never seen that happen. But what you can see is the evidence of the living Christ in another person's life. And my guess is that is what's brought you to be in a pew on this Easter Sunday morning. There is some evidence there. And it might just be the evidence of observing another person who has the living Christ in their life. It is the way that you treat Christ who is alive when you talk to the Christ. Because you don't talk to dead people. When you interact and have an encounter with the living Christ, that changes you. That doesn't happen with something that's dead. When you have the experience of having dead places inside of you beginning to be reborn, that are the beginnings and just a foreshadowing of the life of resurrection that we all will have in Christ. It might be a little crazy, but we got good reasons for believing that crazy. But there's another big difference between the crazy I saw in that documentary about these people who were moving towards clarity and ours. And that is, we acknowledge that it's hard to believe. We're not telling you this morning, and I would never tell you, it's easy to believe in the resurrection. It might be the hardest thing that you ever do. And the reason I feel comfortable saying that is because that is what the gospel passage gives us this morning too. That verse that I read, so they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized on them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. That is not only just the ending of our reading this morning, that is the ending of Mark's gospel. Those are the very last words. There is no seeing of the risen Christ in Mark's gospel. All there is women go in and they see the tomb is empty. Somebody tells them that Christ is raised, most like our experience too, that somebody has told us that that happened, but they don't get to see him, and they go out and they are terrified, and they don't tell anybody about it. Folks, That is because believing the resurrection is hard. And they're going to have good evidence for this. They don't want to tell anyone, because we do see later, if you come back next week and hear in John's gospel, you'll find out when Mary goes and tells the disciples that Jesus is alive, you know what they tell her? Shut up. You're crazy. You are crazy. So our crazy is to be owned, but it's also to be owned as being something that's difficult. And when we assent to it, when we say the creed later today, I'm not about like people in the modern world say, sometimes I got to say the creed with my fingers crossed. Don't cross your fingers. If you don't get it right now, that's okay. The creed is not someplace you've arrived. It's someplace you're going. And by saying it, you are moving yourself to that place of disbelief to belief. You are moving from something that is hard to grasp and understand and own to something that will ultimately change you and renew the world. Because what we have here is no secret. The resurrection is crazy, but it is the crazy that will renew the world. Embrace it. Amen.